Song selection. Would you open your Bible, please, with me to Ephesians chapter 3? In just a little bit, we will be celebrating our communion together. It's a once a month activity for us, and no one is excluded. If you're a visitor this morning and you know Jesus as your Savior, you're welcome to join us. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, it's not useful. It's not helpful. It doesn't do anything spiritually for you. But if Christ is your Savior, then please feel free to join us this morning with the communion. In Ephesians chapter 3, working our way through this, we covered this section, the first two-thirds of it. Last week, in part, I would like to go a little bit deeper this morning before we go into our communion. Just a reminder, verse 1, he starts off saying, for this reason, and he doesn't complete that thought till he gets down to verse 14. Paul somehow got sidetracked in what the Ephesian people needed to know about his calling. And that calling, ultimately, in verse 6, is that non-Jewish people who are believers in Jesus are part of the body of Christ with believing Jewish people. It sounds easy to us. All of us that have been in church have heard something about this for our life, so it's not like that was earth-shaking. In verse 2, down through 13, some of the words used, you can kind of get tangled in and think, what? Well, I'm going to skip to some better stuff here. It's not all that moving until walking through it. Hopefully, this morning will help a little bit in that as we work our way down through it. There's a Greek word that I'm going to just demonstrate to you. It stands out three different times, twice here and once in chapter 1. It's a Greek word that doesn't, it's not a real heartfelt word, okay? Oikonomia. Oikonomia, that in verse 2, it's the word stewardship in New American Standard. Down in verse 9, oikonomia, the administration. Well, I started hearing that word when I was listening to things about politics a lot years ago. Well, the Reagan administration. Before that, it was the whatever administration. Well, that use of the word administration is somewhat accurate here. Oikonomia, used by Paul to say, here is the workings of God, and there's a lot of elements to it. Watch this unfold. Verse 2, when he got a little sidetracked and into this new topic, if indeed you Gentile, non-Jew people have heard, it's been resonating. Well, look what Jew Paul is doing. If you've heard of the stewardship of God's, he is one element of all that God has purposed to do in the kingdom that he is working right here on this planet before we see him face to face. The stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation, God revealed this to Paul. There was made known to me the mystery. I wrote to you before in brief. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight that came through that revelation into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men. However, it was already in the scripture. There's a point to be made. It was there, but it was a mystery. And then at one point, people saw it revealed in their Old Testament, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, Jew or Gentile, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit, to be specific. And here's the culminating point, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, fellow members of the body, fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. This is an all-inclusive message. This is God saying, I have done this, sent Jesus to this earth to become a man, to take on the sin of man at the cross, to pay for the sin of any man that will believe that this payment has been made. And after his death was resurrected from the dead, that is the simple gospel. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. God doesn't take too kindly to that. Jesus plus this, or Jesus minus that. You can't go there. If you do, God will hopefully correct you before you get to see him face to face. We'll put it that way. That is the gospel. And now the mystery is revealed that Dan Robinson, Irish, Scotch, a bit of English, I think, probably some German. There's a whole conglomeration of bloodline that came, and I'm it, you know, down to me. And as far as I know, none of it was Jewish. Zero from Abraham. Yet, Abraham and those that came from him are together in a brotherhood that is called the body of Christ. Mystery is now revealed, and I could say, wow, really? But they had such a privilege. God's chosen people. That's kind of misunderstood at times. But it's brought forward now, and God is still working with and will work with the Jews in the future. I firmly believe that. But now he's included me in this whole working. Verse 7, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. That's Paul's way, a roundabout way of saying, this isn't me, guys. I didn't do this. It's not my idea. It's not my empowerment. God is speaking this out. And then to me, the very least of all saints. Unfolded that a bit last week. This grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable, the without a bottom. You can go as deep as you want in the wisdom of God, the working of God, the love of God, and you're not going to sound the bottom of it. It goes deeper the deeper you go. According to the working of his power, to me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to bring to light what is the oikonomia, what is the administration of the mystery for which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things. God who created all things. This always stops me, really does, and makes me rethink and relook at that which is around me. And I'm talking this simple blade of grass. I'm talking about the planets that are not going off wild and crazy somewhere. He has made it. And then I look at me. The physical things that have gone wrong in this body, just because that's how it does. God didn't create it that way. That came in when sin came in. And to understand what my little thyroid does, or did, and then went wrong. Or dear friend and sister of ours, her little dinky rice kernel parathyroid, 4 of those placed in here. That's a little dinky thing. That's useless. Let's get rid of it. Oh, really? When it goes bad, the whole being went bad. She was not herself. She went kind of crazy. Just a little dinky thing that has a purpose from God who made all things. Again, back to our duck whisperer. An egg. Simple little egg. I've been dumbfounded by this. When it's fertile, there's something happening and it eats that yolk for a number of days until finally, with that little bump on the end of its beak, it's all tucked in there, pushes a little bit of that shell out that you can't break so easily from the outside in. And if that duck is going to live, it breaks through the rest of that shell. And if it doesn't break out in a timely fashion, it dies, it suffocates within the membrane, And in a short time after its life starts, that little bump kind of goes away. Who put that little bump there? Same one to put that little rice grain size right there. God, who created all things, it's designed, it is unbelievable. Don't ever settle on the lie that it all adapted and came out of a green slime pit. No way possible. God, who created all things, but don't stop there. You know what else he created? This administration of his working to save a soul from hell and to himself. That's part of God created all things in this text. God who created all things, he has this oikonomia, this administration, and it gets a little bit bigger. To bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, in order that the manifold, the varicolored, the multiplicity of God's wisdom. A manifold is something that takes something singular and puts it out multiple. At least on our intake manifold in our car, that's what it does. And the exhaust manifold takes the multiple and takes it into a single. The manifold wisdom of God means a bunch. In order that the manifold wisdom of God might now, right now in this life, as you're kicking and breathing, be made known to the through the church to the angelic realm, the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. God's administration is being shown and demonstrated through you and me. Now, there's a couple of levels to this. Kind of interesting. I heard somebody wisely once point out that a church is not a museum showcase. Look at all the perfect people in here. Rather, a church is a place to get help for the bent and the broken, for those that haven't arrived to being able to walk on water yet. I'm glad you're here. It makes me feel a little bit better because I'm needy. We are needy. But in another realm, right now is being demonstrated to that angelic realm. Look at this administration of God. The Jesus that became a Jew because he was ever the Son of God before that. Born to Jewish parents of a miraculous virgin birth. So he was born without sin. Part of that administration and the working out of that administration. Paul says, somehow to me, the chief of sinners, God chose for that to be made known to the church. Look at what God is doing. This isn't joining a club to come and join a church. In fact, you can't come and join this church. Do you know that? The only way you can join God's church is through Jesus Christ. He's the Savior. And for you to participate with us, I've always told people, the second time you come, you're part of us. The first time, you're just checking it out. You know, what's the pulse here? Right? But to come to this fellowship isn't to join in the body of Christ. That happens through faith in Jesus Christ. Taking this communion this morning is not going to get you to heaven. He says, those that know him do this to remember what he has done for them. Shed his blood to pay for the sin. You eat of that bread, which represents his body that was broken, instead of your body be broken on that cross. Melt it down, and you see this administration of God, and it gets bigger. You know what else it includes? That Jesus, the living God, is also going to return physically to this planet. It also includes that he's going to come one day, and he's going to call us all home to himself. All of this administration, which was before hidden, now, whoa! We should fall into it with gaping mouth. Really? Really, God? Wow. And then he goes and slips this one in. By the way, you know what's going on right now? You don't, so I'm going to tell you. I'm showing off to the angelic realm what I'm doing here. Look at this. Verse 10. One more time. in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenlies. They're looking on saying, wow, really? And you know what? I don't know how that angelic realm works. I haven't been there yet. I can't help wonder if they can see more than I can see them, you know? Again, they can see me and the brokenness. And my wife, she's got a little brokenness too. And our kids, they got a little brokenness. And we have people around us that are kind of broken, yet able to come together and be together and be unified. Love one another. Do something that is much different than the world could ever, ever produce. And they might be looking on and say, wow, look what God's doing. I don't know what it looks like from their perspective, but he tells me he's shown it to them. Well, what can I do to help, God? There's nothing in here like that. This is true of God, what God has done for you. And you get into chapter 4, now therefore walk in a manner that's equal to that. Walk in a manner that's worthy. Prior to that, the next verse, God willing, we'll look at next week. I'm praying for you that you get it. All of this that I've just unfolded and a whole lot more, verse 14 and following, and I'm praying that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened to get it. We're not quite there yet. Verse 11. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose, or the purpose of the ages. The eternal purpose of God, when does that start?
Before the foundation of the earth.
Whoa. Oh, by the way, he's quoting earlier in the scripture, earlier in Ephesians. The purpose of eternity includes all of this, which now includes this guy that's talking to you, because I'm a believer in Jesus. And it includes you if you're a believer in Jesus. And it includes you if you're about to become a believer in Jesus. Purposed before eternity, that way, way back kind of thing. This is not God stumbling along and says, oh man, it got broken, how can I fix it? This is a here and now, we've come to this place. When thinking about yeast starter and the bread that my wife makes, sourdough. It doesn't start off bubbling and perking, you know? In fact, if you watch it, which is a really boring thing, there's a little bubble. There is life there. You come back a couple hours later, and what are you going to see if it's working? It's like it unfolds more and more and more. The purpose behind it was this, and this is the end result. We say, yay! With God, he purposed all of this. He designed us in his wisdom, and it's unfolding more and more and more. And one of these days is going to be that day that the Lord Jesus steps out of heaven onto this planet, onto that terra firma there in Israel. Zechariah 14 clearly tells us that. Other places as well. Clearly, Jesus is coming back. This was in accordance with his eternal purpose, which he carried out in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom, if you're in Christ, we have boldness and confident access, or access with confidence through faith in him, more literally, of him, in whom we have boldness. The boldness here, the boldness is not a physical zeal that makes me stand on a street corner and yell at everybody coming by, Jesus loves you. That's not a boldness in mind here. It is a boldness, however, because of a confidence of telling the next person that God brings along why we believe in the Lord Jesus, in whom we believe. There is a boldness. And more than that, for Paul, this Jewish man for years was under persecution because he was speaking these things to the Gentile people. And he was constantly emboldened by God to do this. Why? Because of the Lord Jesus. Faith in him, faith of him. We'll deal with that in just a minute. Confidence. confidence to access God, the living God. Yes. You know, there may be some of us here in the room who have thought, well, I can pray, but I don't really feel like God wants to hear me. I'm kind of one of those throwaways. I've blown it. I can't. The sin has been too deep. And what the scripture teaches me is he died for that sin. To give us confident access to him. And the boldness of taking on whatever tasks in this life God has given us to do. We talked about that from chapter 2, verse 10. Confident access and a boldness in whom? In Christ. We have boldness through faith of him. This is a head scratcher. In my commentaries I looked in, because typically we'd think, well, faith in Christ, and that's throughout the New Testament. Faith in Christ. But this one spot, faith of Christ. First commentary I looked in, didn't touch it. Second commentary I looked in, didn't touch it. They automatically skipped to, oh, it means faith in Christ. Third commentary I looked at, didn't touch it. Fourth one was John Calvin. I loved what he put. I want to read just a short little entry. First, Paul denominates it the faith of Christ, by which he intimates that everything which faith ought to contemplate is exhibited to us in Christ, all that it includes. Hence it follows that an empty and confused knowledge of Christ must not be mistaken for faith. That is not faith. But that knowledge which is directed to Christ in order to seek God in Christ. And this can only be done when the power and offices of Christ are understood. Faith. Let's reword it just slightly, just for the help here. Would you ever word it, United States Constitution, the knowledge of the Constitution? Or would you say, no, the Constitution has knowledge. It's I have knowledge of what the Constitution is. Maybe in fullness. John Calvin is stating here that that is put for Paul to expand all that Jesus is and has done that regards the faith of Christ. All inclusive. Yes, faith in Christ. It's here in Ephesians multiple times. Faith in him, yes. My faith in him, yes. But this makes it big. All that it includes, and we're trying to go through this right now, this administration of God. The faith, how about this word? The knowledge of Christ. The belief, which is the word faith, of Christ. All that he is and has done for you and for me. Go to the next verse with me. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf. It can be worded, therefore I ask that I don't lose heart, but that doesn't flow in the sentence. I reject that. I'm saying, and I ask you, don't lose heart at my tribulation on your behalf, for they are for your glory. Paul, in his boldness, is suffering, ultimately stoned to death with rocks the one time. In Lystra, beaten times without number. Why? Because he's going to the Gentiles and teaching this stuff. And these people, not just the Ephesians, but the Gentiles, I'm doing this for your glory, for your benefit. I'm doing this for you. Don't lose heart on my account. For Paul, in Acts chapter 19, he was in the city of Ephesus. Demetrius, the silversmith, started a riot. Paul was about pulled to death there in that spot until the Roman guards came down and helped him. He was in a bad way. And he's telling, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart about me. We have boldness, confident access. I think that's saying, talk to God. I think that's his way of saying, it's okay, you talk to God. Don't lose heart about me. I'm okay. God has got me covered. In fact, they can't kill me until it's my time to die. There's a boldness. And so he kept moving forward. And now he's just very sentimentally father to his son saying, don't lose heart for me. It's okay. It's okay. This is for your benefit. And then the very next verse, I'm praying that you get it. It is Jesus. It is his invitation to us to believe that Jesus died for my sin. And I'm made one with all other believers in the body of Christ, which is 2,000 years old and made up of all kind of people, brothers and sisters in Christ. The communion also signifies that he did this for us. The communion is to be a public thing that we together remember. We together proclaim his death until he comes. Then we deal with the prejudices of this world. Oh man, we are so broken. We are so very, very broken. And Christ came to set us free from that mess. Let me open it up to a little interaction. Anybody has a comment or a question they would like to add here? Any?
So, Dan, you've touched on several things here that springboard from the previous hour, the how-to. And looking at what you've just been talking about, the 13th verse, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations, which I've suffered on your behalf, for they, my tribulations, are your glory. Now, my understanding of glory is that it's kind of a road sign that points to something other than itself. That there's something there in what Paul has been suffering through that allows us to see the value of what he's been doing on our behalf. And that should be encouragement to me as I face into the circumstances around me, including today's political and cultural and social upheaval, and recognize God is at work in this, and ultimately, we are benefited.
Thank you.
So, it talks about that mystery all the way, I mean, we're chapter 3 now. But it's talking about that mystery all the way from chapter 1. And am I correct in thinking in my simplistic way of that mystery just being, okay, I made all these people and I love all of them and now I'm showing the world. Is that what that means?
Sounds good to me. But combine it with this thought of before foundation of the world. It started back then with a plan before we ever were to include us. And that mystery, it was in the scripture, but nobody saw it until God started pointing it out to Paul. Now it's been revealed and filled out in our New Testament. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, go one more time.
Okay.
In that ninth verse, and you were stressing God is the creator of all things. And I'm sorry, my mind went back to John 3:16. For God so loved the world, and particularly our elementary grades, we invite children and people, adults, put our name in that place. For God so loved Dave, God so loved John, and so on. And it isn't that that's wrong. However, the word that is used there is cosmos, which is the entirety of the world, including everything in his creation. For God so loved all that he created that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus didn't just die for me. He died for everything that he created that has been touched by sin and corruption. For me, that's awesome, and all I can do is bow and say, thank you, Lord.
Good. Amen. So, go ahead, Ray, and then I'd like to move into our communion time.
The word of faith that Jesus has had for me on, this is the word. Hard to imagine. We have such a small amount of what we think of faith, but his faith opened up the world, and us, even we came out of that. This is amazing.
Now see, I wouldn't call that faith. I understand what you're saying. Faith is a belief. It's something out there in the future, kind of. With him, it was a plan that he did, and it's as good as done when he determined it so. It's going to happen. I wouldn't label a faith. You're welcome to. That's not a problem. I would label it a little bit differently. But I am on this side, and I have just a little knot hole to peek through, whereas he is the all-knowing, all-seeing God. It is amazing. It is absolutely amazing. Okay, I would, Cliff, Michael,